New York City is taking the next step in its life sciences leadership with Spark Kips Bay, a first-of-its-kind innovation, jobs, and education center, and we want you to be a part of it. New York City Economic Development Corporation is welcoming proposals from future-focused partners to help create Spark Kips Bay's academic, healthcare, and life sciences campus in Manhattan. Visit edc.nyc/sciencepark to get involved.
You're listening to The Top Line, brought to you by Fierce Pharma and Fierce Biotech. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. Psoriasis, a condition that affects more than 7.5 million people in the U.S. alone, presents differently in patients of color. However, the gap in representation within clinical trials has been a long-standing issue. Today, we explore how Takeda is taking action to bridge this gap. Fierce Biotech senior editor Annalee Armstrong sat down with Karen Correa from Takeda, who shares insights into why it's crucial for pharmaceutical companies to adapt and prioritize diversity in their clinical trials, and discusses Takeda's initiatives in this area. Let's dive into the conversation now.
Hi, everyone. I am Annalee Armstrong. I am the senior editor for Fierce Biotech. I am here today with Takeda's Karen Correa to talk about how Takeda is putting diversity at the forefront of its clinical trials, particularly in psoriasis. The company has announced some new initiatives to improve diversity at the American Academy of Dermatology meetings earlier this month. So welcome, Karen. It's so great to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm honored.
So to start off, let's talk about your role. In addition to being head of global clinical operations, you're also the executive sponsor of trial diversity at Takeda. Can you tell me about what you do?
Yes, absolutely. I do oversee our clinical trials, but I am the sponsor for our diversity in clinical trials as well. So this is an area I've been doing for over 28 years. And so I help with the strategy and implementation and execution of our processes and plans for our diversity action plans and getting those things into place.
Okay, so we're here to talk about psoriasis trials, dermatology, and the diversity issues there. So can you just give me an overview of what the situation is right now? How are these drugs tested, and what do the populations look like?
So right now we are focusing this on psoriasis. And as you can imagine, psoriasis often presents differently in the skin of color populations, creating challenges in our diagnosis and our assessments. So these gaps are things that we want to address. And so what we have put in place is diversity action plans for our trials so that we'll be able to improve in the recruitment of patients of different diverse groups so that we'll be able to help implement processes to improve in that process of diversity in clinical trials.
I found a study in JAMA Dermatology, which was published in 2022, and it said that psoriasis trials are the least diverse out of 392 dermatology studies that they looked at that were conducted between 2015 and 2020. So it said just 12% of studies had at least 20% non-white participants. And 30% had 45% female participants. So it's pretty bad when you take that larger snapshot of the data.
It is. It is definitely something that we have to think about. Unfortunately, the trials in the past did not have a proper representation, which is why we now have diversity action plans that we put in place so that we can make sure that we're doing this from the forefront of our studies. This is not something that we want to make sure that we do later, that we want to make sure we get it right at the beginning.
Absolutely. So can you describe at a high level how psoriasis presents and how it can actually differ in people of color?
As you can imagine, this might present different in people of color. And so what happens is the medical professions are not trained to be able to identify that differential. And so that is something that we have provided in our education at our investigators meetings so that our healthcare providers can be able to see the difference and give them tools and help them with the process.
So how did Takeda get involved in this? What was it that kind of spurred you to really take a look specifically in psoriasis?
So we actually do diversity in clinical trials for all of our studies. Starting in June of 2022, all of our clinical trials will have a diversity action plan. Psoriasis specifically is just one of those trials that we have focused on, as we know, because the equity of diversity in clinical trials and dermatology trials have been obviously very different. These efforts will be particularly important in our dermatology trials, however. So because of the patients with skin of color are historically underrepresented in these trials, as you mentioned, the data that you found. So this is there's a systematic review of a randomized controlled trials that talks about this. So what we're doing is that lack of diversity and inclusion in psoriasis trials and clinical research can unfortunately compromise our access to care and result in errors and delays in our diagnosis and treatment.
So you're working on some new ways. You talked about these diversity action plans, which you're doing for your drug. I believe it's called TAC-279, which has had some really promising results. Can you speak specifically to that drug and what might look different in this trial than others that have previously been held in this indication?
Absolutely. So Takeda has embedded a diversity, equity, and inclusion from the beginning. And this is a plan that we have put into our study focused on our psoriasis trial. And we feel that it has an ambition that has unprecedented patient diversity within our phase 3 study. So the things that we put in place specifically is we have established clear trial diversity goals. These goals have been based on our real-world evidence, prevalence of the data of epidemiology within psoriasis, and we also have a process to track these progress as well. We have prioritized our education, conducting sessions at investigators' meetings, as I mentioned before, to educate our medical professionals on accurately diagnosing psoriasis and skin of color. We've also offered resources to our study sites, such as multi-language and culturally sensitive educational toolkits on clinical research training to foster a patient inclusivity within our trials. We recognize that it's important to make sure that we have access and education and awareness for our patients. Through community engagement, we have prioritized our study sites with greater ethnic and racial diversity by including an assessment at our study staff level of diversity in our feasibility questionnaires. This will help us evaluate the possibility of conducting trials at specific sites. We have also formed relationships to work closely with organizations with missions to increase clinical research participation in historically underrepresented populations. As you can imagine, it's even more important to develop culturally relatable patient materials with the help of our partners using such imagery of psoriasis that reflects diversity with patients and color.
So let's talk about recruitment. I've spoken to a lot of companies over the years who have really important initiatives like this, but ultimately, if you can't find the patients, you can't implement these ideas. So how do you make sure that your trials are recruiting in these populations effectively? You've talked about, first of all, diagnosing it correctly in the first place, but how do we make sure those patients get into these trials and engaged?
So what we have done is we've implemented processes and toolkits for them to be able to make sure that we don't have any type of barrier. So we've had a thing that we feel is really important here at Takeda. Our goal is what we call the pave a way to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we partner with community stakeholders and we address the operational barriers that impede patient access. V, we make sure that we verify the diversity inclusion goal represents the real world data. And last but not least, E, we enhance the diversity of our investigative sites. We feel looking at it holistically in that way will be able to help us improve in our diversity inclusion activity within our trials. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned improving diversity at the trial sites. How important is it for a patient to see a doctor that looks like them when they go in for treatment for some of these conditions?
That's extremely impactful. It definitely helps. It gives that opportunity for the patient to have a comfort level when they see staff within that organization that looks like them. It could be a language situation culturally, but in the event that they do not have staff that specifically look like them, we try to make sure that we provide, and we did this at our investigator meeting, is a part of cultural competency training, because we feel that is important as well. And as you can imagine, being able to be culturally competent in this space will be able to help that comfort level with the patient as well.
I remember several years ago, there was a big push for pharmas to publicly report trial diversity data. But that really dropped off almost as quickly as that initiative popped up. The results didn't look very great. It really laid bare how white these trials really were. So how can we improve transparency and make sure that we're really making sure that this data is out there, no matter how it looks?
That's a really good question. Actually, that it might have dropped off in the reference to people being aware, but is actually still ongoing. The FDA drug trial snapshot is a place where anyone can go and look at any drug that has been approved post 2015 to see what the trial diversity looked like the NET trial. It is based on race and ethnicity, is based on gender, and is also based on age. So you're able to see that demographics and also be able to see if there's any subpopulations, disparities within adverse events, so forth as well. So that is out there in a transparent way. I just think some people might have forgot to go to the FDA drug trial snapshots and look once a drug is approved to see what that diversity inclusion look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average consumer who might be taking this drug might not know to check that resource.
That is very true.
So what lessons do you think that Takeda can pass on to other companies that are going through this process, whether that's specific to psoriasis or maybe other disease areas?
I think the first thing is just to have a process in place to understand how you're going to work through diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think what Takeda has done is being able to make sure that all of their trials have a diversity action plan, because it is at that moment you have an intentional approach on what needs to be done, because every study is specific. And actually get the real world data for that clinical trial or for that indication, you can use that to develop your diversity action plan. So I think being able to have a template or a tool and resources for your operational staff is what's going to be the first piece. And I think several companies are probably looking in that space. And that's what we have done at Takeda. And I feel that has set the stage for us.
This obviously goes way beyond just dermatology. You mentioned Takeda has these action plans for all of your disease areas. So I guess how can you and your peer companies maybe make bigger changes to ensure that all trials are more diverse and that the therapies that you're working on are addressing the right populations?
Once you develop your diversity action plan, you'll be able to see what is needed for that study. But then you can look across your studies and then think about it from the beginning through the end and all the way throughout your company. We believe that clinical research is an area we can make a significant impact, but it's only one aspect of the company's broader commitment to health equity. And I think that's the broader piece that we need to focus on. And so Takeda has embedded health equity into every aspect of our global value chain. We're starting with our research and development efforts, our manufacturing processes, access and strategy, and global corporate social responsibility programs, as well as our partnerships. Takeda also established a center of excellence in 2020. This center is called the Center for Health Equity and Patient Affairs. It is better known as HEPA. Sitting at the intersection of research and access, the center provides services, programs, and frameworks that help Takeda build sustainable physical and intellectual infrastructures intended to address health inequities. I feel that if we do that, then we'll be able to look across the whole value chain, and that will impact clinical trial diversity.
Absolutely. So I know that the FDA just put in some new requirements for these clinical trial action plans, which you've been talking about. Did that change anything for Takeda, or was this something that you were already doing?
I think it was at that moment that when we realized that we need to make it more intentional and have it documented. What's not written down is not being done. And so the diversity action plan was, I would say, is just the catalyst to make sure that we had something that was a little bit more structured. And I feel like that is what put us at the next stage on how to improve diversity action plans and diversity in clinical trials.
So we talked a little bit about how this data is out there. The FDA does publish that database, which is fantastic. But what is your message for a patient who might ultimately end up taking some of your therapies? Should they feel confident going into it that you've done this legwork? Or how can they inform themselves and be involved in ensuring that the drugs that they take are being tested correctly?
Thank you so much for that. That's a really good question. I feel that, as you have mentioned earlier, not everyone is aware, especially a patient, about the FDA drug trial snapshots. So I think it's about having that very comfortable conversation with your provider about asking those questions so that they can be more intentional in learning more about it. I think it's also the responsibility of Takeda to make sure that we provide our providers with that information so they can have a comfortable conversation with the patient about who was tested with this drug and what was the impact of that subpopulation.
All right. Well, Karen, that's all my questions. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been really great.
Thank you.
That's it for The Top Line. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercebiotech.com. Look for podcasts. And that's The Bottom Line from The Top Line.